Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Most financial markets will either be closed or have shortened hours today as part of the National Day of Mourning for former President Gerald Ford. But we do have our pre-opening report, commodity market report today. Dave Dickey joins us. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called from steady to $1 per hundredweight lower amid reports that most plants have adequate supplies of animals purchased for the first half of this week or even longer. Terminals are called steady to lower with tops from $40 to $43. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily direct hog report for Friday, December 29th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,416. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $51 to $62.16. The weighted average, $58.59, a loss of $1.33 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.01 to $48.05, the weighted average, $46.18. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 14,918. The base price range, $49.50 to $62.75. The weighted average, $59.02. A loss of $2.39 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42.51 to $47.50, and the weighted average was $44.50.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Jay Searles. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dick. We do want to check down to our south where things are growing quite well across parts of Brazil. A lot of rain fell over the weekend. 1 to 3 inches were common from Sao Paulo in southwestern Minas Gerais to northern Goiás. Similar rainfall amounts occurred in eastern Mato Grosso do Sul to western Mato Grosso. A few locations reported locally intense rainfall, as a matter of fact, 3 to 6 inches with some of the greatest amounts. Rain will impact all of Brazil at one time or another over the next 2 weeks, and amounts will be sufficient to support normal summer crop production. Net drying may occur in southern Brazil again during the second week of the two-week outlook, but sufficient rain will fall in the first week of the forecast to carry on normal crop development when conditions turn drier again. Let's check into Argentina. There is a large divergence among computer forecast models today regarding weather for the past weekend and next week. For this weekend and next week, the European model creates a strong ridge of high pressure over Argentina, while the global forecast model creates a deep trough of low pressure, so quite a bit of change there. But basically, crop moisture across Argentina is expected to remain favorable throughout the next 2 weeks. Sufficient rain in the past and that is expected over the coming week should work well into today's favorable soil moisture and promote normal crop development in routine farming activities across most of Argentina. So no bad news from South America. Things are looking pretty good as far as crop production goes there. Check over to India. Frost and a few freezes occurring periodically in the far northernmost portions of the nation, and similar conditions were expected throughout the coming week. Cold weather is not unusual at this time of year, and the impact of frost and freezes should be minimal. Rain is needed, though, throughout the wheat and rapeseed country, but none is expected for a while. The situation may become more critical in the second half of January and February when reproduction is underway. Some loss of yield is possible without timely rainfall during that period. Into China, light rain and some snow fell across eastern central China during the Friday through Monday morning. Periods of moisture totals range from 15 to hundreds of an inch in the Yellow River Basin, but the moisture boost was not great enough to have a lasting impact on unirrigated crops that turned dormant in poor conditions last autumn. And as far as Australia goes, sorghum and cotton areas will receive rain today and Tuesday. Well, actually, today and Wednesday, with a coverage of about 65%, about 10th to 3/4 of an inch. Meanwhile, rain of greater significance will move in through portions of western Australia with some locally heavy rain possible. So some good news for Australia, relieving some of their dry conditions and the drought conditions they've had down there in western Australia. We'll also see some moisture before things turn drier again by the end of the week. And a quick look at South Africa then. Rain was forecast, reported across eastern two-thirds of South Africa over the rainfall. Rates range from two-tenths of an inch to an inch, 1 to 2 1/4 inches in western portions and the northwest. Much of the Free State were dry, though, and highest temperatures were in the upper 70s and 80s. Things looking okay so far in South Africa as well. That's a look at your agricultural weather. I'm meteorologist Jay Searles.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 506.5, down 3 1/4. Last trade down 6. July, 504 1/4, down 5.5. Last trade down 5 3/4. March wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 498, down 3. Last trade down 9. July, 494 3/4, down 2 3/4. Last trade down 7. March corn opened at 389 1/4, down 1. Last trade down 2. December, 374, down 3/4. Last trade down 3/4. January beans opened at 681.5, down 2. Last trade down 3/4. November, 739.5, down 1/2. Last trade down 1/2. January soybean meal opened at 191.90, unchanged. Last trade down 90. March soybean oil opened at 29.70, unchanged. Last trade up 4. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
No side-by-side trade today in honor of the funeral of former U.S. President Gerald Ford, but we did have overnights. But what I want to talk about is the strength that we had last week. We came off Friday's numbers with contract highs, both in the deferred bean and deferred corn contracts. And what does that imply going into the January 12th crop production reports?
Well, right now it implies that industry is worried about not having enough crop, thinking that the new crop report will lower corn yields again, and also thinking that index funds will come in after the first of the year and buy grains and soybeans again, and that all helped push things up late in the week.
So are you in the mindset that there is still some more upside strength this week in corn and beans?
Well, with everything that's happened, there's probably people waiting, chomping on the bit because the extra days off, waiting to get into the market. I don't know that a lot of funds are going to come in until after they see that report, and some funds won't come in until it's time to roll their March stuff, which would be mid-February. So I don't know what to expect this week. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw some come in and buy some more, but it was more a lack of selling last week than it was of any index funds coming in. Regular funds are extremely long corn, but it doesn't seem to bother them much. But it's the index funds is what they're looking at.
Why would the index funds want to buy in at these levels? These are pretty lofty prices.
They're very lofty prices, but when you look at other things, silver, gold, crude oil, they still consider grains to be on the cheap side because where do they have to go to the upside versus how far can crude go? It can go maybe another, $10 for now. They're talking $70 for crude, and we're at $60. They will assess last year, and they made most of their money last year in the indexes, in the S&P and in the Dow, where we really roared. They do reallocate every year. Some people say they'll reallocate more to grains. Others say no, they'll change it over to things that made them more money. The thing that happened with index funds this year, they didn't make a lot of money on grains because when they did roll out of a contract and go into another one further out, the price they paid was a lot higher.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Thank you.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He joins us every Tuesday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We now join live coverage of the funeral of former U.S. President Gerald Ford from Washington, D.C. It's 9 o'clock Central Time.